Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris up here on Ben Buckler, looking out to sea. The sun's just coming up, which is a good thing because it's 5 degrees C and my feet are absolutely numb to the core. I'm standing here on a rock. It's the warmest place I can find, and the sun is going to heat my feet. We're all good. I walk along the beach in bare feet, then I walk up the concrete to the cliff top here most days with no shoes, and sometimes the concrete is colder than a refrigerator. But up on the cliffs, the rocks are warmer. Anyway, that's not no big deal. Yesterday I drove to Orange, and it's an interesting story because there are two or three things happen. Firstly, I had no real purpose connected to my purpose in life in driving to Orange. I took a friend to collect a dog from a breeder. We drove her Mini Cooper S, which is getting a bit old in the tooth, and we had lights flashing all over the dashboard telling us that the brakes weren't working properly and the engine was doing this and that. But that's because it's a British car and it just loves to complain. At the end of the day, we had a good trip. But we were talking on the way and I said, the reason I am doing this today, I said to her, I always link it or sink it. And the reason I'm doing this today is because of the amount of love that her whole yoga school, they donated the money to buy the dog because her last dog died and it was part of the yoga school. And the whole yoga community got together secretly to buy the dog for her. It's many thousands, I think $5,000. And they bought beds for the dog and put up little shrine for the dog and for the old dog, and the new dog's just coming. And so I felt a real opportunity to participate in a great energy and be part of something bigger than myself. And I think that's a very important thing as we were driving up, because I said, I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing this to rescue somebody or to diminish my own value in the world in order to just drive a car for 9.5 hours through horrific traffic to get a dog. It was not the purpose of it. The purpose was a global, in a sense, a contribution to something bigger than me. And therefore I felt joy the whole way up and the whole way back, in spite of some fairly significant traffic environments. I think that's the first thing. The second thing, and there are many things that took place along the way. We had lovely conversations, and she's a very aware human being, and so we could talk about things quite deep that are going on in the world and for both of us. But one of the interesting things is, on the way back from Orange, we stopped at a place called Bathurst, where they have the car races, to give the dog its first little run around and have a pee and stretch its legs and do all that sort of stuff. It's such a cute little puppy, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the long and the short of the story is that we met a guy, and this old guy was walking around in high-vis clothes, typical of a council worker. He had a little bucket behind him, towing a little bucket, and he was picking up papers and pulling out weeds. And we said, oh, thanks, you did a great job. He goes, oh, no, I do as a volunteer. We're a group of people who care about the environment, and he said, I've been doing this for 12 years. And he started to tell us stories, more stories than we needed to hear because we didn't have the time, but it was beautiful to listen to his stories about the environment and how it's changed and all that stuff. The one story he told me, which was really interesting, and I think we can all learn from it, and that is that he found what he calls up there a crayfish. I would call it a yabby or a crab, that had found its way into the mouth of a plastic fruit juice bottle. You know those 2-liter bottles you can buy with a screw top, plastic screw top typically? I think they're pretty much banned these days, these big bottles that we used to drink orange juice and apple juice out of. But anyway, he found that this crab, as a baby, had found its way into the bottle and had not been able to get out, and had grown in the bottle full size. It was a kilo size yabby, which means its claws would have been big as my hand. Giant crayfish, he called it, inside a bottle. With the love and kindness of this guy's heart, what he did was took the bottle home, got a knife, cut the bottle away so that the crab didn't die, and took the crab back and put it in the water, which would have definitely killed it, because it wouldn't have had inside that crayfish bottle the opportunity to develop the muscular strength to fight off the other crabs and deal with life. So probably his kindness killed the crab. That said, his act of kindness is worthy of his own merit and worthy of the applause of the people he knows, and therefore would have would be good. It's good. When we think about the idea of growing up inside a bubble, it brings me to what's called the four perennial questions, which is the reason I'm here, the reason I do my work, and the reason I coach. Is the four perennial questions. The four perennial questions are: where do I come from? Where am I going? Who am I, and why am I here? And if you imagine these four questions being the horizontal axis of a ball, a balloon, and the vertical axis of a balloon, you can imagine that if you ask, where did I come from, which expands the balloon in the left dimension, you automatically can expand the balloon in the right dimension. So in other words, the axis is dead center. When you do that, you also need to ask the question, who am I and why am I here? Because that's the vertical axis. And if you get one answer to who am I and why am I here, bigger than your current one, the balloon expands vertically. And so to keep the balloon spherical, we need to answer all four questions all at once, but if we answer one of the questions, it will automatically flow and cause expansion in the other. Most people that I know in the world, most people don't live in bubbles like that, in balloons that expand. They live in glass fish bowls. They define who am I, they define why am I here, they define where I came from, and then they define where am I going. That's their imagination. And then they start trying to fix problems inside the bubble, inside the glass thing. So in other words, if something goes wrong, they say it must be something to do with something in the bubble. And it never is, ever. It's always how we define who am I, why am I here, where am I going, and where do I come from. And it's very interesting when you talk to people about this topic, because when you say, where did you come from, they don't care. It's like, oh, I come from dad, you know, dad, mum, and my grandpa, and grandpa, it doesn't matter. But it does. In your heritage are the secrets to the DNA in you that will give you the ability to harvest the future. And if you go back in your heritage and look at the history of your family and what they did and what people in your family survived and contributed and did, you suddenly see that there is an inheritance just waiting for you. Now, when a person criticizes their parents, they basically put a brick wall between them and their parent. They criticize them, and they therefore can't ask the where did I come from any further back than maybe they're just a little bit of the parent and maybe grandma, grandpa. But that's just blocked. That's a blocked pipe. That's a brick wall or a glass jar. And then they start saying, I'm really struggling to imagine where I'm going in the future. And I go, I know. You could imagine it in opposition to your parents. You could imagine it in opposition to your heritage, but you can't imagine it in lineage with your parent. And that person will say, well, who am I? And I go, well, who are you? And they go, well, I'm Chris. I've come up to Ben Buckler to do a talk on a podcast. Really? That's who you are? And why are you here? I'm doing a podcast. There you go. Is that the limit of your extent of your question? Is that the limit? Are you in a universe? Do you belong to that universe? Are you part of some magnificent, expansive, energetic transformation? Or are you a peanut sitting on Ben Buckler doing a podcast? Why am I here? Am I just doing a podcast? Am I changing the world? Am I doing something magnificent? Am I sending energy to those who need it? Blah, blah, blah. The quality of the answers to these four questions determines absolutely, without any shadow of doubt, the quality of life. And when we try to solve problems by finding something in the bubble that's broken, like, you know, I've got the wrong job, or gee whiz, I haven't got enough in the bank, or blah, 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 we're focusing on the wrong topic. You can't think your way into expanding the bubble. This balloon doesn't expand by thought. It expands by knowing. When you know that you know that you know that you know that you know the answer to where am I going, why am I here, who am I, where did I come from? When you know that you know that you know that you know the answer to those questions, the balloon's expanded. It does not expand by knowing something. Knowledge does not expand the dimensions of your sphere. Knowledge is actually, thinking is actually the glass jar. Have a think about this. Very important stuff. This is Chris. Have a great day. Bye.